If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope that you do, I'm not sure if it was mentioned, but next Sunday we're going to have a baptism. And I want to encourage you, you may be online, you may be here in the sanctuary, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior at some point in time, and you've never been baptized, I really want to encourage you based on the Word of God, based on what God says. That if you have received Christ and you have not been baptized, then the Bible says you're being disobedient. And we know through the Word of God that when we're disobedient, that we don't nor can we expect to receive all the blessings and all this abundant life that God wants to pour down upon us. So don't be ashamed to say that you know Jesus Christ. We have a young lady that's going to do this next week. She recently received Christ, and she's not ashamed to get in those waters and say, I've chosen to follow Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior forever and ever, all the way into heaven. So let me encourage you. If you desire to be baptized, just see me after the service or call the church office this week, and we'll do it. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 2. This is the study that we began, a series that we began a few weeks ago on looking at almost verse by verse of Hebrews. I believe the more I study Hebrews, the more I research it, especially after we went through the study on Daniel, and we stopped in Daniel chapter 7, but if you go on past that, Revelation is there, and Daniel is there in Revelation. It's just it's almost like having an iPad sitting beside your computer, and you're looking at the same thing in two different aspects. I want to encourage you, as Mark encouraged you this morning, to take advantage of our study on Revelation. God says if you study Revelation, if you read Revelation, you're going to be blessed. And so with that introduction, I want us to take a look at a message I've entitled this morning, The Danger of Spiritual Drifting. The Danger of Spiritual Drifting. And this danger that the writer of Hebrews is talking about here this morning, introducing us to, it's one of five that we're going to see as we go through the book of Hebrews. Five warnings, and this is one this morning. And he's talking about the danger of drifting. Some of you, if you're old enough, may remember a man by the name of Lech Walesa, who was the president of Poland at one time, and he was a Nobel Peace Prize winner. But he made an observation that Americans are drifting away. Now, this is coming from a president of Poland, a Nobel Peace Prize winner. He said, Americans are drifting away from spiritual values as they become richer. We're the richest country in the world. None can touch it. We're the richest people in all the world. The poorest person in America is richer than most people in the world. And Melissa says, sooner or later, we will have to go back to our fundamental values, back to God, the truth which is in God. And then he made the most interesting statement as I was reading this article, the most interesting statement, at least to me. We look to America and we expect from you a spiritual richness to meet the aspirations of the 20th century. It could be said of the 21st century. America was created by God to be that lighthouse, with all of our blessings and all of our riches, that the Word of God may go out to a lost and hurting and dying world. I am the way and the truth and the life. And something has happened in America. Many things have happened in America since, like Wallace said that. The writer of Hebrews is writing to believers primarily, but listen to me. He's writing to believers, those Jews primarily that have become Christians. And then they began to listen to the world. They began to be influenced by the false teachers, by Satan and his demons, because it is spiritual warfare. And they began to doubt Jesus Christ because the false teachers were preaching and telling them he wasn't God. He's dead. Where is he? The one that was going to be your Messiah, save the nation of Israel, where is he? And people began to buy that, just as people are buying what is being spit out through the airwaves and the computer systems and the cell phones in America today to capture our children, to capture minds of adults, to tell them that you can make it in this richness. You really don't need God. You really don't need to worship. You really don't need to come to church. You can do it online. And if you feel so moved, you can just walk up there and hug your television set. But you won't feel the human touch that God intended. There's not a person in here this morning, and this I don't assume, this I know, there is not a human person here this morning that doesn't need a human touch and a touch from Almighty God. Every one of us needs that, to including the man standing here. So he's talking to believers, but let me encourage you. He's also talking to non-Christians. Well, how do you know that? The writer says it, writing to the believer. Well, let me tell you how I know that. When you became a Christian, there were people around you in your family, your business, wherever it was, that you became a Christian. Well, let me see how you're going to live now. Let me see what Christianity, forgiveness of sins, means to you. You see, and they heard, those there that Hebrews, the writer was writing to, they knew this movement called Christianity, and they were watching. They were watching some of them that were living the life of a Christian. Some of them were dying. Some of them, all of them, most of them were being persecuted, losing their jobs, some losing their families because of disagreements of who we should follow. So there were those non-believers, those perhaps even some non-Jews, they were beginning to wonder as well. But as they saw other believers living out their faith and what they believed and were willing to be persecuted and still stand for Jesus Christ, there was something that they said, I don't know what that person has. They tell me it's Jesus, but whatever it is, I want it. I want him. And so we see that today. We see that here in America today. But so many of them drifted away. Today there are thousands, and I'm not exaggerating, there are thousands of Christians who just a few short years ago would be filling this and other sanctuaries, who would be online if they couldn't get to a church. And now they have drifted away from God. One of the benefits of COVID was our technology. Our people developed the technology. But one of the drawbacks of COVID is that people slid back from the church and they slid into their living rooms, or they just simply slid away from God, away from worshiping. Why are we here this morning? We're here to worship God. What's God want? God wants us to worship him. And so this isn't something that happened just 2,000 years ago. This is something the writer is writing about to those of us who are Christians, to live the life that he intended us to live. But also for those of you who do not receive, have not received Jesus Christ, This may be the day that you need to receive him. And so this is what he's talking about here, as we're going to look at a few of these verses. And there's four verses, and they're powerful. There is a man, a pastor and a writer by the name of John Corson. And listen to what he said. Most of us are not in danger of plunging into the sea of carnality. This week or next week, most of us are not going to be murderers or drug addicts. The danger is not plunging into an ocean of perversity, but the danger rather is drifting away from the goodness of God almost imperceptibly. I didn't even know it. I didn't know I got so far offshore. I thought I was just right here, but this current, it took me away. So, spiritual drifting, listen to me. We're going to see this. Spiritual drifting is slow. It is slow and it is very gradual. So that one day you wake up, just like one day you'll wake up, for those of us who are Christians, and we'll find ourselves in the university of affliction. We didn't ask for it, but God allowed us to be there. The day before, everything was beautiful. I was on top of the mountain, God on top of the mountain. I was singing that. And we wake up and all of a sudden we're in the university of affliction. And one day we wake up and we say, I don't have that same feeling in my heart for Jesus anymore. I don't have that same feeling about being with my Christian friends or going to church. It happened so gradually. How did that happen? You know, we hear it all the time. Heard it this week a couple of times. As a result of a couple of birthdays. I can't believe how young I looked then. That's why I stopped going to reunions. Everybody looks so old. But I can't believe how time has passed. Brothers and sisters in Christ, time does pass fast because we only have a few years, 75, 80, 85, 90 for a select few. And so listen to the word of God this morning. If you are sliding, backsliding, we have the tendency to use that phrase in the Baptist faith, backsliding. If you're drifting, stop. Put your anchor out right now, today, the August 20th, 2023, say, I'm not going to drift anymore. Then we sing, I'm coming back to you, Lord. I'm coming back. Come back to the Lord this morning, if that pertains to you. You know, one of the things, and I'm going to read this, but one of the things that, as I was thinking about this and preparing this, not only do we drift slowly and gradually, but the truth is, we never drift towards holiness. Anybody here drifting towards holiness? We drift where? We drift to ungodliness. America is drifting into ungodliness. It's kind of like the Niagara Falls, that river. We're on that river, man, and that current is just taking us, and we're getting to a point where no one short of God is going to save us. And I think this is what the writer is talking to these people there. Don't you want to drift to God's goodness? But we don't drift to God's goodness. We make a concerted effort to live God's goodness, to receive God's goodness. Where do we drift to, brothers and sisters in Christ? You drift to evil. That's what the Word of God says. You drift to evil if you are drifting spiritually. So let me read this passage here and talk to us about the danger of spiritual drifting. And the writer of Hebrews here in chapter 2, in my version, it's headline, Warning Against Neglecting Salvation. warning against neglecting salvation. And here again, as he's writing to the Hebrews, to the Jews that have received Christ, but now are going back to their rules and their regulations. But he's also writing to those who have never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And listen to what he says. Therefore, in verse 1, therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message, now catch this, and we talked about this last week, for since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared first by the Lord. It was attested to by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. Four powerful verses. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father God, speak to us, Lord. Speak to us right where we are. God, we want to. We want to live a life that brings you glory and honor. A life that other people can see that may cause them to ask, what's the reason for your joy in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of crises? How can you stand so firm in the midst of all this? Help us to understand, God, that what's happening in our world and in America today, it's time, not for complacency, it's time to stand and to be counted, whatever the cost. Open our hearts, Lord, and we thank you in advance for what you'll do. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your outline there, I want to give you two warning signs that you may be drifting away. And then I want us to look at three reasons why you should receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior if you have never done that, or even if you're not certain that you've ever done that. Number one, the first warning sign is, I listen to God's word, but my life doesn't change. I listen to it, I go to church, I read the Bible, I listen to preachers, I listen to preachers on television, wherever. I pray, but my life doesn't change. Now, notice the words here. This is very key on these words. In verse 1 of chapter 2 that we just read, that very first word, he says, therefore, the New American Standard Bible and other translations may say, for this reason. Therefore, or for this reason. Therefore, or for this reason, what? What preceded that we talked about last week in chapter 1. Chapter 1, the writer talked about the superiority of Jesus Christ over the angels. The multitudes and multitudes, thousands, maybe millions of angels. The superiority of Jesus Christ over angels. So what should we take away from the author's argument? You might ask, given that Christ has identified himself as the Creator, as more powerful than anything in this world, that he has identified himself as the Son of God and as God himself. And we talked about that he was God before he came to the earth. And he only became the Son of God after he was born here on this earth. And now he's gone back to heaven and he's the Son of God in heaven. So what should we take from that? Well, let me give you a few things here in your outline. Number one, Jesus both demands and deserves to be heard. I'm going to say that again. Jesus, given everything, deserves. And in fact, he demands from his children, from these believers there that he was writing to, to be heard. Verse 2. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable. In other words, these Old Testament, and we talked about how important angels were in the Old Testament. And the writer of Hebrews drew and will draw many comments from the Old Testament about angels and about their power and the authority that they had. But you know what was interesting is that when someone encountered an angel, to include John who wrote Revelation, they always trembled. Many of them just fell down when they encountered this angel. Look at chapter 1, verse 2. But in these last days, he, meaning God, has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus, whom he appointed the heir of all things, and through whom he created the world. He had spoken. Listen, if God has spoken through his Son to this world today, as he has since Christ rose from the grave, shouldn't we pay attention to what he's saying? And that's not a rhetorical question, brothers and sisters. Shouldn't we be paying attention to the Word of God? And this is where he speaks from. It's his Word. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. You may have a physical, an emotional, a disability of some kind. And you've been to doctor after doctor, and maybe things haven't changed. Well, have you gone to the Word of God? Have you gone to the Word of God? It's sharp. It penetrates the darkest heart. Have you given up praying for a spouse? Have you given up praying for a child? That you don't believe, all evidence is they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This word's more powerful than the darkest of hearts. And this is why God wants us to listen to him. In other words, it's foolish to ignore when God speaks. So what are we to do? We are to very actively and very purposefully and very devoted and very committed to put this word into our hearts, into our lives, into our feet, into our brain, and live the rest of this life, whatever God has given us to live, on the Word of God. In other words, it's foolish. Isn't it foolish to ignore God when he's trying to speak to us? Why does he want to do that? Because he wants to commune with you. Friends, he wants to commune with you. He wants to talk to you. What does he want to talk to us about? Give more money. Get involved in the church. Is that what he wants to talk to us about? Well, maybe. But what he wants to talk to us about is that I love you. I want to spend some time with you. I want to talk to you. I want to hold you. I just want to give to you my love that I died. You need peace. I know you need peace. That's why I said in my word, I'll give you peace which you can't even begin to understand or imagine. This is why he wants to talk to us and why he wants us to talk to him. Don't miss this. The language that the writer is using here is the language, it's of nautical imagery. It's of a nautical imagery. You know, if you're on a lake or in a boat, a rowboat, and you happen to be on the lake, if you want to reach your intended destination, you have to row that boat towards your intended destination, right? Now, if you're not going to row that boat, you get out there, you get tired, and you just say, and you start drifting. Are you going to drift to your destination? The writer already said, no, you're not going to drift towards holiness. You're not going to drift towards your destination. God's got a destination for each one of us. And I'm not just talking about heaven. I'm talking about that purpose for which he created you and forgave you for. He's got a purpose. You stop rowing. You stop reading the Word of God. You stop putting it in your heart when that crisis hits you. Out of the wild blue, you're on top of the mountain, and all of a sudden, the next day, you're in the valley of the shadow of death. The chances are you're not going to have your Bible in your back pocket, but you can have the Bible in your heart. And that word is stronger than anything, any crisis, anything Satan can throw at you. And when you're not rowing towards your destination, you're drifting. You're not rowing towards God's goodness. You're going towards evil, Satan's evil, where he wants to shipwreck many, many of our lives today. There is no such thing. Secondly, there is no such thing as standing still in a Christian life. There's just not. There is no such thing as standing still in a Christian life. We have two options as Christians. We can either sail forward, put those sails up, just like when we do when we pray. We pray and we put those sails up so we catch God's wind. Or we can drift backward. How do we sail forward? We sail forward. When we put those sails up, we sail forward with commitment. When our sails go up, that means we're committed. God, I prayed, and my sails are going up to catch your wind. That means I'm committed no matter what I encounter here on this lake or on this earth. It's you. I'm trusting you. This is huge. You're either listening, to the Son of God and walking in His Word, or you're drifting away into this culture of confusion that we have today. And I'm also speaking to your children and my children and to our grandchildren. We're drifting away into a culture that is not only confused, it's an immoral culture that we're living in today. No one can say, well, you're a Baptist preacher. Yeah, you're going to say it. No, I'm just saying what I see, what I read, what you experience, the immorality that we see. The thinking and the actions that are going and coming from people's minds and the actions of the leaders and of the supporters of people who are leading us at the highest levels of government and city government and our colleges and our universities and our town halls. They're leading us away from God into immorality. The same thing that was happening back then. Listen, we are led to walking away from God and walking away from the Word of God by blasphemous preachers and blasphemous denominations and blasphemous leaders at all levels of government. Denominations are splitting because someone has led those people to believe that this is a different age, a different era. We got to do things different to attract people. And if we don't attract people, you're not a successful preacher. You're not a successful church. And we're buying into that. And let me also add, and in America, our leaders are there because we had the opportunity to vote them in. We also have the opportunity to vote them out. And yet there are too many to include Christians, and this is as political as I'll get. There are too many Christians who are not voting based on Scripture. They did not vote based on Scripture. And so when a nation is being led, not only by the top level, but by those who they surround themselves with, by Congress, by the Senate, by the House, by whatever. They're being led away from the Word of God. We say, pray for America. We should pray for America that God will intervene into the hearts and the minds and the leaders who are establishing things and policies and the universities that are shameful today. Most of them, many of them, they're shameful on what they're teaching and what they're believing. And it's not just the universities, it's the military today. It's shameful what we in America have allowed our military to become. We're slipping back into those old, comfortable rituals and rules and regulations of the past. And that's what happened to those Jews that the writer was talking about. Thirdly, churches, families, and individuals whose theology is liberal relax their convictions until they become unwilling to speak clearly to the issues essential to the gospel. I know that's very long, but I want you to listen to that again. It's here in your outline. Churches, families, individuals whose theology is liberal relax their convictions until they become unwilling to speak clearly to the essential gospel of Jesus Christ. Angel Eduardo, a pastor, a preacher, a writer, argues that keeping our beliefs to ourselves while avoiding confrontation and promoting harmony is actually harmful and it's immoral. Isn't that what we're doing today? However you want to dress. Whatever you want. I'll tickle your ears so that you feel good when you leave. Isn't that what's happening today? And he said, we are living and letting live. But at what cost? Not one I'm willing to pay. How much worse would the guilt of a Christian be by the burden of those they failed to convert? It would be far worse if they were unwilling to even try to convert and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone. This is the day, this is the time where we need to recommit. We need to make that commitment. That is for me and my house. We will stand on the word of God. And so, the second thing that I want us to see here on the warning signs of drifting away that our lives don't change, but the second warning, complacency about sin replaces confession. It wasn't that bad, God. Look at some of the others. And besides that, God, I'm saved. You forgave all my sins, past, present, and future. So this is really no big deal. And so we just get complacent. Well, I'll pray tomorrow. I'll pray later. A.W. Tozer said this, complacency of Christians is a scandal of Christianity. You hear that? The complacency of Christians is a scandal of Christianity. Time is short and eternity is long. Awareness of sin used to be our shadow. Christians hated sin. They feared it. They flew from it. But now that shadow has faded. Nowadays, the accusation you have sinned is often said with a grin. Oh, yeah, I did that. I'm sorry. Complacency is leading people away from the cross on that wide road that God talks about, Jesus talks about, that leads to destiny and destruction. Rather than on that narrow road. Listen, if you aren't constantly aware of sin in your life, if you're not constantly aware of sin in your life, you're probably drifting. We are probably drifting. If we're not constantly aware, and I mean the smallest sin, Maybe you, maybe the way you spoke to somebody, maybe your spouse, maybe somebody at work, maybe it's somebody in the McDonald's or in Walmart or somewhere, and you knew that's not what you should have said. Well, it's immediately what he's talking about. If you don't ask for forgiveness immediately, if that doesn't bother you immediately, then maybe it's because you've drifted away from the Word of God. And the danger is spiritual drift is not only that we miss out on the spiritually abundant life that God has planned for us, but the real danger is that we find ourselves accountable and under judgment according to the writer of Hebrews, according to the Word of God. So to avoid the danger of spiritual drift, how do we do that? We do it by reading the Word of God. We do it by meditating on the Word of God. We do it by obeying the Word of God as He places it in our heart, as the Holy Spirit gives us that thought, that impression. We immediately follow what the Word of God tells us to do. Well, let me give you reasons here. Got just a couple of minutes. Let me give you three reasons primarily to receive Jesus Christ. And if you are saved, you can use this to relate to someone, maybe somebody in your family. Receive Jesus Christ because of His character. Receive Jesus Christ because of His character. What kind of a person, given everything that we just spoke about, could drift or reject Jesus Christ, who came into the world as God to be incarnated as the Son of Man? The kind of God that had the character to come into the world and then to die on the cross. Why did He die on the cross? To forgive your sins, to forgive my sins. What kind of a person would reject the kind of Christ that would take your penalty and my penalty for sin upon Himself, and, oh, by the way, take the wrath of God, His Father, upon Him, rather than the wrath of God coming down upon you or upon me? What kind of a God would a person would reject this kind of love? What kind would do that? The one that wants to give us a blessing upon blessing and joy, to enjoy this life, even in the midst of crises. What kind of God would do that? The God of God that has character. Let me show you, or let me tell you. Write this down. Psalm 14, verse 1. A fool says in his heart, there is no God. What kind of a person would reject that kind of love? The man or a woman who God says is a fool. No one in their right mind would turn down what Jesus Christ paid for and just offers to us right now. as a free gift. Receive Christ because of His character. Receive Christ, secondly, because of the certainty of judgment for those who do not receive Jesus Christ. You know, for an unbeliever, the message is very simple. In Hebrews and in the rest of Scripture, you obey and you live. You disobey and you die. God loves us so much, He makes it so simple. He says you don't have to have a theological degree. You don't have to go to seminary. You obey my word and you live. You disobey and you die. How much more? How much more can God warn us and tell us and show us? And let me just say this. I believe hell is undoubtedly full of people that never opposed Jesus Christ. They were never against Jesus Christ. They may have known Jesus. They may have even believed in Jesus. They have maybe even believed that God could save people. They believed in salvation. But they weren't willing to commit their lives. I surrender all. Whenever that hymn is sung in our churches, God's churches throughout the nation, how many people really surrender all and then go out and live? The tragedy of that is that these four verses here that the writer of Hebrews writes makes our life here very urgent. Hell is very real. It's a very real place. In Mark chapter 9, it's called a place of eternal fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Yes, there are degrees of punishment in hell. Those who have the greater light by the word of God will experience a greater punishment in hell than those who have never been given the light or have never been told. And then finally, thirdly, receive Christ because of confirmation of God. Receive Christ because of the confirmation of God. And that's what he said in verse 3 and 4. The more we believe, the more we're converted, and the more we believe in God, we're not going to drift. You're not going to drift. If you're drifting this morning, stop it right now. Drop that anchor right now. As our team comes to lead us in God's invitation, maybe you need to drop an anchor right now. Maybe you're a Christian and you've been drifting. Maybe you're online and you know in your heart you've been drifting. Well, drop that anchor right now and ask Christ to forgive you. Ask Christ to put you back. If you're not a believer on that narrow road, to put on that narrow road that leads to heaven. It's that critical. Don't you want to go to heaven when you die? God's already opened that gate for you. It's called the narrow gate. You may want to come to it this morning. Would you bow your head in prayer with me? Lord, our Heavenly Father God, for many, it's a crazy question. Why would you even ask that? Of course, I want to go to heaven when I die. I'm a good person. I'm not a murderer. I'm not an adulterer. I've never stolen. I'm a good person. And I believe in the kind of God that says you will spend eternity with me in heaven because of your work, because of the things you did or didn't do. And I'm here, Father, to tell them this morning, they're so far away from you that only you can place upon their heart right now to return or to come to the cross to receive what his Son, Jesus Christ, has done to give them life, not only in heaven, but to give them life now. Father, this world needs life now. America and its leaders need life now. So, Father, if there's one person that has never received Christ, let them just simply say, "Dear Jesus, it's me. You know it's me, Jesus. And right now, on this day, I'm going to ask you to come into my life. I'm going to repent of my sin, but Lord, even more than that, I'm going to ask you to help me not to go back into the way of life that you have just forgiven me of. I want to go forward with you. I want to be committed to you. I want to be a witness to you. And Father, I just thank you because I believe this is true. Lord, there may be someone here today that just needs to pray as we stand and sing, and maybe even come to the altar. Maybe there's someone here today that's looking for a church home. They just want to come and say, Pastor, I want to become a member of Pine Drive. Father, whatever it is, this is your invitation. And we just give you thanks because you see our hearts, because you paid it all. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as our praise team leads us and respond to whatever God has placed upon your heart to do. It's that important. It's that critical. If God's placed it there, He didn't do it just so we could ignore it. Respond to Him.